Microsoft blasts the UK regulator as its deal to buy Call of Duty developer is blocked. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain.
Get ready, team. We have never seen a war zone like this.
Yeah, Microsoft should know a thing or two about battles because it wants to buy Activision Blizzard, the developer of the most successful war game of all time, Call of Duty. But it faces an uphill one now after the UK's regulator, the Competition and Markets Authority, stepped in to block its takeover. Here's the CMA, Sarah Cardell.
Microsoft already is the most powerful cloud gaming platform. It's got a market share of around 60 to 70%, and it combines a really strong position across Windows, Xbox, and its global cloud infrastructure. And that would be combined with Activision, which of course has got a hugely important portfolio of games. Combining those two businesses would really reinforce Microsoft's strong position.
Microsoft's president, Brad Smith, gave this furious reaction exclusively to the BBC's Sean Farrington.
The business community, the investment community, and the technology sector around the world have been following this case. And the strong message the CMA has sent that I think will discourage innovation and investment in the United Kingdom. And I think in that sense, the impact of this decision is far broader than on Microsoft or this acquisition alone. This decision, I have to say, is probably the darkest day in our four decades in Britain. It does more to shake our confidence in the future of the opportunity to grow a technology business in Britain than we've ever confronted before. And for all of us who had some hope that post-Brexit, the UK would construct a structure that would even be more flexible, that would be better for investment, we're now finding that the opposite appears to be true. And what is most striking to me is that the English Channel has never seemed wider.
As the regulator has laid out, you have a 60 to 70% share of the cloud gaming market. Is it not best for consumers to say, well, hang on, let this market develop naturally?
The whole basis for this concern is the possibility that Microsoft would buy a gaming studio and not make the games that it's buying available on alternative cloud streaming services. What Microsoft offered to the CMA was a commitment that these very games we are acquiring would be available from services that are not run by Microsoft. They're not sold by Microsoft. We think that's good business because that's how the games would be distributed as broadly as possible. That's good for gamers. It's good for consumers.
So you would like innovation to be regulated?
No, I would like innovation to go forward with appropriate guardrails. But the guardrails need to allow innovation to advance. And one of the ways that innovation advances is that companies are born and then they have the opportunity to merge and come together. I don't think people are going to want to start a company in a country that will then have regulators who will stop them from selling it to another company. There's a clear message here. The European Union is a more attractive place to start a business if you want someday to sell it than the United Kingdom.
That's Microsoft's president, Brad Smith, speaking to the BBC's Sean Farrington earlier. Well, let's check in on the numbers now. Stocks in Europe have opened up today for the first time this week. France's CAC 40, the biggest riser right now, up 0.4%. The DAX in Frankfurt also up 0.2%.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with customizable coverage options as unique as your business. More at progressivecommercial.com. And by Otter.ai. Otter's AI meeting assistant automatically takes live meeting notes, captures slides, generates summaries, and assigns action items. More at Otter.ai.
Well, certainly those European shares have been buoyed by better-than-expected results from two of the continent's biggest banks, Barclays in the UK and Germany's Deutsche Bank. Shares in the German lender had wobbled pretty badly in the wake of Credit Suisse's collapse, with investors hunting for perceived weaknesses across the continent. But those jitters could have been overblown, as Professor Peter Hahn from the London Institute of Banking and Finance explained.
And I think there was an overreaction. And I think you and I had a conversation some time ago. We talked about how it's really the European banks with more of an investment banking focus that would be more affected. And that's exactly where Deutsche is.
The CEO James Van Moltke has been speaking this morning, saying they were tested, and the silver lining is that the test was passed. Do you see it similarly?
Yes, I think they've come out. It comes back to the biggest part is its investment bank, which they're trying to continually cut expenses on and to return it to a type of profitability where it provides a fair return for its shareholders, and it's not there.
You worked, of course, in banks in the US and in Europe. We had results from Barclays, another big European bank today, that were also looked pretty solid. It's in stark contrast, it seems, to everything that's going on in the US and particularly around First Republic at the moment. Does it suggest, as you perhaps hinted at, that this is actually an American banking crisis rather than a global banking crisis?
Yes. I mean, of course, we can't ignore what's happened at Credit Suisse, but that was a problem that had nothing to do with the current economic times. But it is turning out to be much more of an American crisis. And part of the reason for that is that one of the differences between European banking and American banking is European banks overall hold large amounts of mortgages, so standard mortgages on their portfolio. One of the big things that sticks out with First Republic Bank is it owns a huge portfolio of what are called very high value mortgages, jumbo loans. And with real estate prices in question in America, that is value of those loans and their interest rates are being questioned. It also points to the fact that American banks, and particularly the smaller ones, really these regional banks, have portfolios of higher risk loans than most European banks have. So they have a lot more exposure to U.S. commercial real estate. And post the pandemic, the new world of office occupancy or work from home is changing the values of that real estate and making those loans seem ever more risky and also mispriced, meaning that they have the wrong interest rate on them. So it does look like a crisis that's going to continue in America, particularly the smaller the size bank. But I don't think it is a European issue.
And with First Republic specifically, Peter, overnight it does appear that there's a slightly strange staring contest going on, perhaps between the big banks who helped prop up First Republic and the regulators, and a game of who blinks first in terms of offering more support now.
Yeah. Well, I think the US has the resources to fix it, but it's trying to. It appears to see if there's an industry solution. And of course, the large US banks did put money in and put in about 30 billion US on deposit at First Republic. But I think there's a lot of heavy negotiations going on. I don't see First Republic lasting as an independent entity for much longer. And I think the Fed is the one, or the FDIC, if you will, as the regulator, is running out of time. So I would expect a solution in the next few days.
Professor Peter Hahn of the London Institute of Banking and Finance, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Now, making your own lunch for work is one of the best ways to save money during the week, but the humble sandwich is not immune to the impact of inflation, it seems. According to research for the BBC, the cost of a homemade cheese sandwich in the UK has jumped by over a third in 1 year. The BBC's Emma Simpson tucked into that story in London.
We looked at the price of whipping up a sandwich with own-label supermarket products. Egg and cress is up by 41% compared with a year ago. Cheese sarnies are up by 37%. And tuna and mayo has risen by nearly 15%. The Croydon's Box Park food court, the lunchtime crowd, are feeling the pain of rising food bills.
Bread is really expensive. Like, the basics have gone up a lot, I find.
Every week I go to the supermarket and I see prices increase. And it's not just a small amount. It's, you know, 10, 20 pence here and there, but that all adds up.
I'm the BBC's Emma Simpson for Marketplace.
And in the studio here have been Ollie and Lindsay, and I've been Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report for the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.